Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer one more time this morning.
Heavenly Father, we come to you with our praise and thanks, Lord God, for you are a mighty God. There's none greater than you. There's none higher than you. You created the heavens and the earth and all that's in them and all below them. You created us to worship, to praise you. And we praise you. We thank you, Lord God, that you looked upon us sinners, separated from you, your enemy. But you had mercy on us. And we praise you. Thank you for your son, Jesus. We look forward to your coming. And we know that you come soon and you've given us the signs, Lord. We know the time. You've preserved for us and reserved for us an inheritance that's greater than anything that we could ever imagine. And that we give you praise and thanks. Each of us, Lord, have come here today to worship you, to praise you, and to hear from your word today. We ask that you bless Cal as he brings forth the word, Lord. But quicken our ears, Lord, to your word. Transform us. And fill us, empower us, and possess us, Holy Spirit, that we might be obedient to your commands and love one another. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Please be seated. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord today on the Lord's Day with the Lord's people. If you are a guest or a visitor, we normally try to have a theme that we kind of follow through the year. Last year we preached on and talked about and prayed about getting free in 23. Y'all remember that? Hadn't been that long ago, has it? This is the new year and we do have a theme. I normally like to get away for 4 or 5 days off, just me and the Lord somewhere. Hadn't been able to do that, but I do think and I do believe that God's spoken to my heart about the theme for this year. And the theme for the, are you ready for, there it is, it's right in front of you. She jumped the gun, didn't she? All right. We are going to have an open door in 24. An open door in 24. Look at your neighbor and say, an open door in 24. All right, and we're talking about doors of opportunity, really. I believe that God's going to open many doors this year for us that we might accomplish the mission of Second Mile Church. And that in the process, we might bring glory, honor, and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe this year is going to be an open door of salvation for a great number of people. I believe God's going to open some doors of discipleship and making disciples like never before here at Second Mile Church. I believe God's going to open some door for missions and evangelism. You do know, as a church family, we're taking our first mission trip together out of the country. About six of y'all knew about that. God's got an open door for missions and evangelism. That I believe we're going to become a praying church this year. God's going to open the door so that we might be a praying church. I believe God's going to open some doors for worship and giving this year like never before. I believe God's going to give us some leadership opportunities this year. And bless God, I believe, how many of you know God still heals? Amen. If you don't believe in healing, you're not going to get healing. And I believe God's going to open the door for some tremendous healing, financial healing, physical healing, relational healing, social healing, all kinds of spiritual healing. God's going to open that door for us this year. And I believe God's going to open some doors so that we might continue to love on and serve our community. But first and foremost and last and not least, I believe God's going to open the door for revival in this church and in churches all over this county. And because of that, we're going to have an open door of spiritual awakening. Wouldn't you like to see that happen in Montgomery County? Wouldn't you like to see that happen in Clarksville? God can do that. And so this open door in 24 is our theme for the year. Now, and as God opens this door of faith, we're going to walk in it by faith. We're going to do that together this year. And this great theme comes from John chapter 10. So if you would follow along with me and stand as we honor the reading of God's Word, John chapter 10. I want to start at verse 1. We're going to focus this morning on verses 7 through 9, but I want to read verses 1 through 10 if I might. Is that okay with y'all? Yep. All right. John chapter 10. Most assuredly, I say to you, whenever you hear those words, he's saying, that's right. Start tracking with me. I got something important to say. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. You see, he not only knows your name, he's got your number. Hallelujah. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep, I said the sheep, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Imagine that. Verse 7, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, here it is, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. He says it again, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief, definite article, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Teddy Bigger, I saw that beard shining back there. Would you ask God to bless the word this morning, brother?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house this morning, Lord. And Lord, I ask that Brother Kyle continues to teach and preach your word, Lord, that it may penetrate our hearts, Lord, and open our minds. And just pray for a great revival in 2020.
Yes, Father.
As I mentioned earlier, we've got so many opportunities coming up this year, Lord. I just pray that you will lead us in a direction that you would have us go.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus Christ's name, I pray
you
say,
amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Please be seated. The theme, the open door for 24, comes directly from the third great I am statement in the Gospel of John that Jesus made. Our kids, for several weeks, looked at the seven great I am statements in the children's ministry back here. And this is the third one. I am the door for or of the sheep. And in saying that, Jesus is speaking to some religious leaders. He's speaking to some followers, his disciples, big crowds of people. And as he's speaking, he's using imagery that they would be very familiar with about sheep, shepherds, and sheepfolds. We might call them today sheep pens, but the symbols that he's using help us to understand not only who he is, but what he's all about. I am the door of the sheep. Are y'all with me so far? Now, you need to understand in Jesus' day, there was two kind of sheepfolds or sheep pens, we might say today. The first kind is what he's talking about there in verses 1 through 6. It was a public sheepfold, and it was large. Had a big fence around it, you know. It probably had, most of them were very public, large enough for several flocks of sheep. And some of them even had coverings over it. They were normally found in the larger cities and villages, and the shepherds would bring their sheep to these large sheepfolds. And they were enclosed, most of them, by a door or a gate. And the shepherd would bring his flock into the city or into the village to this sheepfold, and the sheep would enter in and by the door, or through the door, and then he would come back in the morning and stand in the door and call the sheep by name. And the sheep would come out and follow him. And he'd take them to find pasture. Is anybody with me? That's the first sheepfold or sheep pen that he's talking about there. And I believe that applies there in verses 1 through 6. But there's a second kind of sheepfold that was more out in the countryside. And a shepherd would have a few, just a small flock of sheep, and he would take his sheep to nothing more than a circle of rocks that were piled high in a wall. And there was no door and no, just an opening for the sheep to get in and to get out. But you know what the shepherd would do? He would stand in the door. And then at night, he would lay down in the door and literally become the door of that sheepfold to keep the sheep in and to keep wild animals out. And so that's the imagery that he's using here in verses 7 through 9. Jesus is the door of the sheep. And so application-wise, I want to begin by saying this. He is the one and only door for the sheep. If you want to get into God's flock, hello, you got to come through the door. And his name is Jesus. Can I just go ahead and tell you, Muhammad is not that door. Buddha is not that door. Confucius is not that door. Hare Krishna is not that door. Let me get a little bit closer to home. The JWs aren't that door. Joseph Smith is not that door. Is anybody with me up in here today? The Pope is not that door. The Mother Mary is not that door. The religion of good works is not that door. Jesus is the door of the sheep. You've got to, he made it real clear. Yeah, go ahead and clap. It's all right. You're giving him praise, not me. And so he made it real clear over there, didn't he? In John 14:6, he said, I am, there it is again, I am statement, I am the way,
the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father.
Well, y'all are doing good. Amen. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one, nada, zilch, zero, no one comes to the Father except by him. Give him praise in the house today. Now, he's talking here about thieves and robbers also. What's he talking about there? He says, everyone who's come before me or is here now or even coming after me are thieves and robbers if they're trying to bring people into the kingdom any other way. And here, I believe he's talking to the religious leaders of the day, the scribes and the Pharisees, and anyone even before that who were trying to bring people in to God's kingdom any other way. I mean, the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, Jesus had all kind of trouble with those folks. I mean, they were not true shepherds. They exploited and abused the sheep. They took advantage of poor people. They were all about themselves and providing for themselves and protecting themselves. They weren't concerned with the sheep. They abused the sheep. Do you remember what John the Baptist said about the scribes and the Pharisees? He described them as a brood of vipers, a brood of snakes. Jesus tells us that they had turned the temple into a den of thieves and robbers. And by the way, just in the preceding chapter, in chapter 9, Jesus had healed a man who'd been blind from birth. Remember that story? You can read it when you get home. And it tore the religious crowd, all to pieces. You know why? Because he did it on the Sabbath. And so they come to this blind man who'd been healed, and they said, is he a man sent from God or is he a sinner? And that blind man, you remember what he said? Well, whether or not he's a man sent from God or whether I don't know. All I know is once I was blind and now I see. And do you know how they treated him? The religious leaders, the so-called true shepherds of the day, here's what they said. They answered and said unto him, you were completely born in sins, and are you teaching us? And they cast him out. He couldn't go to the temple for worship. Thieves and robbers. And don't you dare get deceived by all these false shepherds. They're still here today. And they're trying to bring people in by some other door, some other way. And there's only one way. There's only one truth. There's only one life. And there's only one door. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, y'all are in trouble. That's the introduction. We're going to focus on verses 7 through 9. And use a theme, and I'll be preaching on this theme, an open door in 24, doors of opportunity, that kind of thing all year long. Now, next week, we're going to be ordaining and installing some deacons. So I'm going to be talking about, you know, the door of opportunity for folks to serve in that manner. And then the third Sunday of this month is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. And I'll be talking about that. But all throughout the year, we're going to be talking about how Jesus is the open door. And he's given us an open door in 24. So here's what I want to do in verses 7 through 9. I just want to talk about some benefits and blessings of Jesus being the open door. That'd be all right? The great benefits of entering into God's flock through the open door of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the first benefit. Here's the great blessing. What's in it for me? Everybody wants to know that. Well, he is the open door for salvation. You with me so far? Look again at verse 7. Look again at verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep, and all who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't hear them. And he says it again, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will what? Be saved. And so the door right now and this year until Jesus comes is open for salvation. And anyone who enters through the open door through Christ is saved. And you know what? Those of us, I've been saved for 50-something years. Been saved a long time. Some of you have been saved so long that you've forgotten what it was like to be lost. I'm going to tell you, your salvation is a wonderful treasure from God. If you're saved, if you're born again, if you're a believer, if you are a follower of Christ, if you're a Christian, I'm just trying to describe that term for you. You are blessed beyond belief. Saved, saved, saved. Saved from what? Well, we talked about this a little bit last year. When someone is saved, he or she is immediately, they escape the penalty of sin. How many of you know there's a penalty for sin? I should have been the one to pay for my own personal sin. But when I received the door and went through the door of salvation, all of my sins were paid for. I'm so thankful you sang Jesus paid it all this morning. He did pay it all. He satisfied God's wrath. He became the sacrifice. He took my sins. He became the judgment for my sin. And I will never, ever be hauled into God's courtroom and pronounced guilty because Jesus paid it all. Amen. You have escaped the penalty for your sin if you're saved. I want to tell you, our Baptist churches are full of folks who've never been changed by the power of God. Oh, they've walked an aisle or give their hand to some preacher, maybe even been baptized, maybe their name's on a church roll, but they've never been saved by the power of God. If you're not saved today, you're going to have an opportunity to do just that. And if you'll come to the door, if you'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ His way, you can enter into the flock of Almighty God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. That door's open this morning. And so the penalty for sin has been taken care of, but increasingly, you can have victory over the power of sin. We've talked about that. I've been saved 50-something years, and I ought to be a better man today than I was when I was 9 years old. Now, that's got to be true because I was a boy when I was nine, but I'm a man now. But increasingly, you see, when God saves somebody, He comes into our life. Every fiber of our being. You have the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. You got the Holy Spirit in you. And by the way, if you've got the Spirit of God in you, somebody else around you ought to know it. Hello? Is that right? And so every time we are tempted to sin, the Spirit of God provides relief from temptation. And I truly believe that the older we get, we ought to sin less and less and less. I still struggle with sin. Can I just be honest with you? In some areas, I'm much better. I'm far ahead of where I used to be. But in some other areas, hello? Some of y'all are looking awful spiritual at me right now. But in some areas, I still struggle. But God has predestined us to become like His Son. And so increasingly, we are given the power to overcome daily sin. Isn't salvation great? But here's the best part. One of these days, you're going to be saved even from the presence of sin. Just go ahead and shout, I'm not going to sin anymore. That's a big Bible word, glorification. You know? But when God changes you and gives you your glorified body, when you have a body like Jesus, you're not ever going to sin again. You see, there are stages to salvation. When you get saved, that's just the beginning. That's just the start. And as you move through life, He continues to supply power to live the Christian life. And then when Jesus comes for the church, you're going to get a body like Jesus. You see, you can't go to heaven in this glorified state, eventual heaven, until you have a body like Him. You know, sin has cursed everything, even creation. And so one of these days, you're going to be so glorified and so saved, you're not ever going to sin again. Look at your spouse and say, I can't wait till that day. Aren't you glad you don't have a spouse? You didn't have to say that today, did you? Well, glory to God. The door is open for salvation. Jesus took our place of judgment. And when you were saved, man, the Spirit of the living God came in, and now His Spirit lives in you and gives you the power to sin less and less, and then one day you're going to be in your glorified state, never to sin again. The door of salvation is open to anyone and everyone. We fuss and we argue about the elect. Elections all throughout the Bible. I don't know who God's elected for salvation, but I want to tell you, I'm praying He'll elect some more. Amen. And it's kind of like going through, who was it? James Montgomery Boyce, Presbyterian minister, said, the door of salvation is kind of like when you enter in, whosoever will may come. There's a sign over this side of the door. Anyone can come. Whosoever will may come. And that's the way I believe. If you want to come, you're going to get to come. But then when you walk through that door of salvation and you turn around and look, there's another sign on the other side of that door and it says, chosen in Him. He chose you. Now there's a mystery there. And I don't totally understand it, but we need to quit trying to explain the salvation of God and just receive it by faith. Amen? All right, so that's the first benefit. I believe we have an open door in 24 and we're going to see many come to faith in Christ. Secondly, the door is open for security or safety. Look again at verse 9. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out. Will go in and out. Now, as you go in and out of the sheepfold, the sheep pen, you're following the shepherd. And just a few verses later, Jesus makes another great I am statement. He says, I'm the good shepherd. He's not only the door, he's the good shepherd. Amen? And so we're talking there about, I think, about abundant life and the in the rich pastures of our Lord. In Christ's day, I ran across this week. It's very interesting. In Christ's day, when a person could go in or out without fear, it meant that his country was at peace and the ruler had the affairs of the country under control. Isn't that good? He provides safety, security. And guys, if you don't know this, that's what your love, that's what your spouse, that's what your wife is looking for, security. And some of you guys, that's what you're looking for. That's why you're taking a look at that IRA on a daily basis. Security, the open door. How many of you know you can have peace that passes all understanding? You can have joy unspeakable and be full of glory. Jesus not only died and rose again so that you might have life, but so that you might have an abundance of life, an overflowing life. God's people enjoy fullness of joy and freedom. The abundant life doesn't mean that there's no struggle or no problems. I mean, I got a call from Carol Walker at 6:15 this morning, and our brother's been hauled up by the ambulance to the ER at St. Thomas. There's problems. There's struggles in this life. But the abundant life is really the contented life, which comes from the confidence that God is equal to every emergency and does indeed supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, glory to His name. God's grace is sufficient. You can go through this life, brothers and sisters, wherever you go, with the wonderful knowledge and wisdom that wherever you go, nothing happens to you that hasn't been first filtered through the hands of Almighty God. If some kind of big issue happens to you, hey, let me just be bold enough to tell you, God either caused it to happen or He allowed it to happen. And if He, in either one of those, He did that for your good and His glory. He's making us more like His Son. And I love being up on the mountaintop, don't y'all? But it's in the valley when you learn life's lessons. It's in the valley when you learn who Jesus really is and what He wants to be in your life. But you can count on Him. He's going to be there for you. If you are saved, you're His forever. Now, let me just park right here and I'll chase this rabbit for a couple of minutes. I don't believe in the way Southern Baptists have preached once saved, always saved. Oh, just come on down the aisle, give the preacher your hand, climb up in the baptistry, oh, and you're in, you're a member of the church, da-da-da-da-da-da, and then you look back about 10 or 12 years later and your life's no different now than it was then. God's in the life-changing business. And He loves you too much to leave you the way you are. I believe in if saved, always saved. If you be, you're not saved, listen, friends, we are not saved because we're holding on to Him. We're saved because He's holding on to us. He's the one that keeps us. He's the one that saves us. He's the one. And I don't, you know, here's the deal. He knows you by name if you're one of His. Hallelujah. He knows how many gray hairs I've got. He knows how many gray hairs are in Teddy's beard. He knows everything. And He loves us anyways. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." And what do? They follow me. Are you following Jesus? Are you really? Are you following Him? And He says, "I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish." How long is eternal? And He says, they shall never. Let me read it to you. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who's given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." I and the Father are one. So if you're saved, God's going to keep you saved. But He's also going to take you to the woodshed when you're in sin. There's consequences for sin, but no judgment. Because Jesus took the judgment for. Am I making sense? And so if you're looking for security, Jesus is the door. Here's the last one, and I've got to hurry now. The door is open for salvation today. It's open for safety or security. But it's also open for satisfaction. Look at 9 and verse, the latter part of verse 9. He says, "If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture." We'll be able to find pasture. And in the Holy Land, good. Those of you who've been to the Holy Land with me know how rare it is to find. Good pasture is not as easy to find over in Palestine. Y'all know that? Israel. Yeah, thank you. Israel. To be assured of finding good pasture was a wonderful promise. Wonderful promise. It speaks of prosperity, contentment, health, and happiness. How many of you can really say this morning, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures"? Can you say, "He leads me beside still waters"? Can you say that He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake? Can you say that He restores my soul? Can you say that He even leads me in the valley? Can you say that He anoints my head with oil? Good things. Can you say that He provides for me tables of provision and protection? And He provides those two wonderful dogs, mercy and grace, mercy and goodness, all the days of my life. And can you say, "He's taking me to the Father's house"? You're blessed. You are so full and satisfied with the Lord Jesus. You may not know this. Now, I've got some scripture I want to read to you from the Old Testament. And by the way, y'all, next time somebody tells you, "Oh, that's Old Testament," you tell them Jesus came to fulfill the Old Testament. He didn't come to do away with it. Listen to what Deuteronomy, somebody here is going to get happy. Deuteronomy 8, listen to verse 3. "Blessed shall you be in the city." If He's the door for you, you're going to be blessed in the city. Tell somebody, "Blessed in Clarksville." Tell somebody, "Blessed in St. Bethlehem." Oh, y'all don't like St. Bethlehem. Well, guess what? Jesus died for St. Bethlehem. "Blessed in the city. Blessed in Nashville. Blessed in Chattanooga. Blessed in Memphis." Wherever you are, blessed going out, blessed coming in. And you're going to find good pasture. He says, blessed are you in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Say, blessed in Cunningham. Say, Betty, blessed in Woodlawn. Blessed in the country, blessed in the city. You can't get away from God's blessing. He satisfies us all day long if you will allow Him to lead you. That's the key, obedience. You're not going to have the blessed life. You're not going to have the abundant life if you don't allow Him to lead. By the way, He's got a better plan for you than you do. He's got a bigger purpose for your life than you do. Hello? My sheep hear my voice. Do you hear His voice? Is He calling on you to a deeper walk? Oh, I believe God's calling everyone in here to a deeper walk with Him in 2024. That's what He wants. Do you hear Him calling? Will you let Him lead? Second Mile Church, this is our time. This is it. We have arrived at 2024. This is our year for the glory of God. It's what you were made for. It's why you're here. There's an open door in 24. Are you going to walk through that door? Whatever that need is, He can supply it. And if you'll respond in obedience and faith, to the open door and follow Him, here's another thought for truth, another truth for thought. You'll have more in 24 of Him than you've ever had. Glory to His name. Now, I believe you get all of God when you get saved, but the bigger question is, does He have all of you? Let's pray together, wouldn't we? It's decision time. You can't listen to God's word and hear God's word, read God's word, without making some decision of obedience. Let your yes be yes today. If you really want 2024 to be a life of satisfaction, security, and salvation, exercise your faith and come to the door. Allow Him to lead you, to be your shepherd. And man, you'll find rest for your soul. You'll find provision in green pastures and still waters. You'll have that righteousness that only He can provide. Would you come to Him today? Whether you're saved or not saved, whether you're satisfied or not satisfied, whether you have safety or security, would you come to the door of the sheep? Father, only You and You alone know for sure who Your sheep are. Your word says, I know them. Doesn't say we know Him. It says, I know them. And oh God, may no one walk out of this building today without coming to the door. It's open for salvation. It's open for whatever we need. Because that door is Jesus Christ. Speak to our hearts, Lord Jesus. Help us to follow You. If you're here this morning and you'd like to have a deeper walk, more so than you ever have before, if you'd like to surrender every area of your heart to Christ, maybe God's been dealing with you about the ministry or the mission field. or some type of ministry locally. And he's calling. We're going to invite everyone in this building to come. And man, we've got some prayer warriors that will pray over you. We have some wonderful leadership here. I'd love to pray for you. If you need to be saved, friend, please, please, please come. And we'll help you find that door. And you can walk in it by faith. Father, bless now this time of invitation, this time of response. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. Andrew's going to lead us.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.